Well, open your Bibles, if you would, to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him there is no sin. Whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen Him nor known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteousness, just as He is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not like Cain, who is of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us this morning not to love merely in word and tongue, but in deed and truth. We pray that you would help us to practice righteousness. Make us to be righteous in Jesus Christ. Don't ever let us forget or be deceived about the link between being and doing. We ask that you would keep us from being led astray, that you would help us to understand the truth. Help me to speak the truth. Help us all, me included, to listen to the truth and be changed by it. Help us to be good and therefore to do good. We pray these things in the name of your risen Son, our Lord Jesus, the good, the best, in His name. Amen. You've heard me many times say that preaching be good, do good is pointless. And here I have a sermon by that title that I'm presenting to you this morning. And the title is the title because it's taken directly from our text. He who does righteousness is righteous. Do good, be good. That's what John is telling us this morning. Now, usually preaching of the form be good, do good is pointless because it is not do good, be good. It's do good, become good. If you do enough good things, you'll make yourself into a good person. My friends, that's foolishness. It doesn't work that way. A bad person can't do good things and become a good person. John's spiritual insight is much more profound. His message to us this morning is the other way around. Be good, that is, start from a place where you are already good, and from that place, on that foundation, you can build many good deeds. Not become good, do good, but you are good, so do good. You can't be righteous without doing righteousness, and of course the flip side is true. You can't do righteousness without being righteous. Why is that? Because Jesus was righteous and did righteousness, and He is the model for us. He is, in fact, our righteousness. So let's look at this text, verse 7. Let no one deceive you, little children. What is it that we might be deceived about? What is the content of the lie that might be so deceptive? Well, it's this. John tells us, here's the true statement, he who practices righteousness is righteous. So the lie would be the negation of that statement. He who does not do righteousness is righteous. What? What are you trying to say, John? Here's the lie. The lie is that I can sever the link between being and doing. I can be a good father while yelling at my kids. I can be a good driver while getting 3 DUIs in 6 months. I can be a good citizen while cheating on my taxes. A good employee while spending 25% of the day surfing the web. A good church member while never attending worship. I can be good without doing good. That, brothers and sisters, is the lie. John says, don't let anyone deceive you about this. Don't let anyone tell you that you can be good without doing good. Well, it's a powerful lie. It's a very plausible lie in one sense. It's also a very stupid and obviously false lie in another sense. Of course we know that people with multiple DUIs are not good drivers. Of course we know that if we're doing something evil, we're not being good. But why does John address us, first of all, as little children? Little children, let no one deceive you. The danger is that someone might make you believe this lie. Someone might deceive you into thinking you can be good without doing good. Our kids spent the night at my brother's house this week. And the next day they told us, Tante Kaylee sleeps in the bathtub. Oh, where'd you hear that? Well, that's what Uncle Seth said. Little children are trusting. They don't know any different. What they hear, they believe. Little children, don't let anyone deceive you. Why does John call you little children? Because when it comes to the spiritual life, we are babes. We're born yesterday. Right? And to think you're not, to think I'm one of the mature ones, I understand how all of this works, you're already deceived. You've already swallowed one of the biggest lies that can fit through the human throat. You're a little child. That's how John addresses us throughout this epistle. You're likely to believe an obvious falsehood. You are easily deceived. And more than that, of course, liars abound. As John says a little later on, I have written you these things about those who try to deceive you. There are lots of those people. There are a lot of folks out there who will happily sever the link between being and doing with you. You can find support groups who will encourage you in every kind of sin, every kind of perversion, every kind of lawlessness, every kind of false and harmful ideology. Those things are not far to seek for those who want them. But John is not just talking about those people who try to deceive you. those out there in the broader culture. He's also talking about groups in the church. Right? For instance, those who cry legalism. Whenever we say around here, we believe in God's standards and we enforce them as a community. We will not affirm you when you move in with your girlfriend. We won't do that. We will not tell you that anything you want to do is okay. There's a number of Christians out there who will cry legalism when they hear that. Somebody recently told me they were serving on a jury, and a fellow jury member said, "Oh, I don't want to do that. That would be too legalistic." And then the jury member was like, "Wait, I don't think that's a word. Legalistic? I've never heard that word." And my friend said, "No, it's a word." "Oh, it is?" But outside of Christian circles, perhaps, that word is not known. But in Christian circles, it's definitely known and it's definitely used. There are those who would try to deceive you and tell you that honest, sincere effort to obey God is legalism. Those people would sever the link between being and doing. You can be righteous without practicing righteousness. In fact, trying to practice righteousness, trying too hard, is Pharisaism, is legalism, is self-righteousness. There's a laundry list of wrong things, they will tell you. Right? They're trying to deceive you. Don't let anyone deceive you. Don't let anyone sever this link between being righteous and doing righteousness. Legalism is not keeping a biblical standard. Legalism is creating and enforcing extra-biblical standards. Or looking to biblical standards to give you saving favor in the sight of God. That's the definition of legalism. Don't let anyone deceive you. To be righteous means practicing righteousness. But righteousness is not defined by the broader culture, by your particular ecclesiastical subculture. It's defined by the Word of God. Don't let anyone deceive you. But, of course, yes, children are trusting. There are plenty of liars out there. But who's by far the most deceptive person on this point? It's yourself. We all want to believe, I want to believe, that I can be good without doing good. That I can be righteous without practicing righteousness. And you want to believe it too. I just said it's an obvious lie. And it's easy to see in other people. Wow, so-and-so is so proud of himself for X achievement. And he looks down so hard on people with Y sin. And yet, doesn't he see that he sins Y sin all the time? Yeah, we see it in others. That they have in their mind somehow severed this link between being and doing such that they believe they are good without the need to actually do anything particular that's good. John is telling you, look out for yourself. Beware of yourself. Don't let anyone deceive you, and that means don't let you deceive you. The link between being and doing is unbreakable. There is no sense in which you can say, I am good, but I'm not doing good. He who practices righteousness is righteous. Not is becoming righteous, but is righteous. The one who does good is good. Now, this seems to run into the question of what about justification by faith? If we actually believe that God justifies the ungodly, that God takes someone who's not doing good and says, this one is good. Doesn't that contradict John here? He who does righteousness is righteous. How can God take someone who's not doing righteousness and say, he's righteous? How can God take Joe unbeliever and turn him into Joe Christian? For centuries, this question has been agitated within Christian circles. The answer is that there's a distinction between legal and moral. We're all familiar with this distinction. Well, just because it's legal doesn't mean it's moral. We say that frequently. God legally declares you righteous. He doesn't declare Joe unbeliever to be morally righteous. He doesn't say all the bad things that Joe unbeliever has done now no longer exist. He didn't actually do those things. No, that would be a lie. That would be God declaring Joe unbeliever morally righteous. Instead, he declares him legally righteous and says he has a new name. He's Joe Christian, and his laundry list of sins from the past have been erased from consideration. The court no longer sees them or recognizes them. The one who does righteousness is righteous. Or we could say the one who is morally righteous begins to do what's morally right. If you go to court to get an adoption done, and the judge says, this is now your child, you don't say, no, he's not. I didn't give birth to this child. What are you talking about? Right? The judge is telling the truth because the court has the power to constitute this child as yours. God is telling the truth when he declares you righteous because he has the power to legally make you righteous. And then from that position of legal righteousness, you learn to be morally righteous. You learn to practice righteousness precisely because you are righteous. When Joe unbeliever becomes Joe Christian has a responsibility as a Christian to practice righteousness, to do good. If you don't do good, then you aren't good. That is, you aren't morally good. And you and I may not deceive ourselves, must not deceive ourselves on this point. There is nothing more attractive to our fallen hearts than thinking, I'm a good person, while doing things right and left that a good person would not do. But continuing all the while to think, I'm a good person. Let's just exclude these 85 million things from the record, shall we? So the truth, the falsehood is that you can separate being and doing. That you can do righteousness without being righteous. Or that you can be righteous without doing righteousness. There is no separation of those two realities. That's the truth. And that means, therefore, that you need to practice righteousness. You have a new identity. John has been insisting on that for the last several verses. You have an anointing. You are born of God. You are a child of God. You will be like him. And now that you have this identity as a child of God, you need to do it. You are righteous. Now do righteousness. So, John is not saying do good in order to become good. He's saying the opposite. You are good. So now become someone who does good. Not do good, become good, but you are good. Right? To change your behavior is something you can do. We all have the power at some level to change ourselves, to do different behaviors than we previously did. But you don't have control over your identity. You can't change what you are. John is not just telling us to improve our conduct, to practice righteousness. He's saying that we have to have our identity, our being, changed by being born again as a child of God. But he's speaking to those to whom that's already happened. You are righteous. You have been born from above. And therefore, you can and must practice righteousness. So it's not, the message is not become righteous. The message is you are righteous. And on that platform, you build good deeds. I just read a statement yesterday from a theologian that made perfect sense out of this. It was a powerful, powerful statement along these lines. What he says, the contemporary dogma teaches that we become good. This is part of a pantheistic worldview in which God himself becomes a person only after a process of overcoming. And then here it is. This movement from below to above, from the material to the spiritual, from the earthly to the heavenly, from humanity to God, from the visible to the invisible, from the temporal to the eternal, directly contradicts Christian belief and revelation. It is a system from the abyss. Brothers and sisters, that is the system that says, do good, become good. You move up from humanity to God, from the temporal to the eternal. The Christian faith says the opposite, that God reaches down and transforms you, and also that God created you originally very good, and that in Christ you have been restored to being knowledgeable, righteous, and holy. We are not called to constitute ourselves. We are not called to become good. The Christian message is, you are good. That is your being. Your identity has changed. You are Joe Christian. You are not Joe unbeliever. So in that identity, practice righteousness. Because you are legally and therefore morally righteous in Christ. What's your model in all this? What does it look like to practice righteousness? Well, John tells us, he who practices righteousness is righteous just as that one, just as Christ is righteous. The model for your practice of righteousness is Jesus. Just as we saw in the previous chapter, whoever says he abides in him must walk even as he walked. Our righteousness is just as Christ. Not the same, perhaps, in size. Augustine compared it to a model of a church. This little wooden model on the table is just like that church. Our righteousness is just like Christ's. Not in the sense of being as large as his, but matching his point for point. A 1/2000th scale model. be good, right? Be saved by Christ, have your identity transformed by Him, and then do good along the lines that He does it. Your righteousness will look like His. John is telling us that we should want to be like Christ. That we are good in Christ, and therefore we should do good. We shouldn't believe the lie that we can be good without doing good. We should believe the truth that we are good as being born again from God. And therefore we can and must do good deeds. You should be good and do good because Jesus was good and did good. And in Him you are good too. So start doing good. Don't let anyone lie to you about this. Don't let yourself lie to you about this. If you're a Christian, you can do good, should do good, must do good, will do good. So let's get after it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that You would help us to practice righteousness just as Your Son is righteous. Father, forgive us for wanting to believe this lie that we can be good without doing good. Help us rather to believe the truth that there is an unbreakable link between being and doing. That the one who practices righteousness is righteous, and the one who is righteous practices righteousness. Father, help us to hate our sins and turn away from them. Help us to practice the righteousness of obedience, the righteousness of repentance, the righteousness of faith that does not work but believes on the one who justifies the ungodly. We pray these things, Heavenly Father, in Your Son's glorious and holy name. Amen.